Here comes the music.
Radio.
Fire it up, British lady.
Ladies and gentlemen, are you ready for the dawn of America?
You have to live with that, that open? Is that yours?
What's that? That's me, yeah.
Is that your normal opening? Is that the one you need? That's
yeah,
yours?
Yeah.
It just
that's my theme
terrible.
Song. This is the part where it gets tedious, because now it's just guitar.
Yeah, well then we have to play mine.
Yeah, absolutely.
At the same time.
Here it comes.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, Banal of America Audio, with your host, Tim Banal.
Now everybody's got to wait through mine. I don't want to be stepped on, you know.
No, don't worry about it, I don't care.
That may with anybody the truth, but we have not done the basic work.
I have this touch. That this phenomenon is comes from some sort of domain of pure information, and the fact that it can interact with us at all suggests that we inhabit a domain of also pure information.
Are we developing this again? Yes.
Whoops. Steve says he's frying a steak. If you're there soon,
black bread. We are all in Britain in the future, for that is where you and I are going to spend the rest of our lives. And remember, my friends, future events such as these will affect you in the future. You are interested in the unknown, the mysterious, the unexplainable. That is why you are here. And now, for the first time, we are bringing to you the full story of what happened on that fateful day. We are giving you all the evidence based only on the secret testimony of the miserable souls who survived this terrifying ordeal. The incident, the places. My friend, we cannot keep this a secret any longer. Let us punish the guilty. Let us reward the innocent. My friend, can your heart stand
nope.
the shocking fact about...
What do you mean?
There. Now we got them both.
All right. So, yeah, no commercials, no subscriptions, no network, no rules. At the end of the day, my friends, no comparison, except tonight it's no more 2016. We're doing a live simulcast with Radio Mysterioso. So welcome.
Right.
I'm welcoming you. You're welcoming me. I never know how these simulcasts work. It's always a mess.
I don't know either.
So
when should we play Bernie Mooney's beatnik abduction thing?
Probably towards the end, just because we've already played a lot.
That's what we'll get into. It. We will describe this near the end of the show. And that there was Tim like kicking our friend Bernie's butt to do this recording, which we will save till the end. It's a beatnik abduction story. Anyway.
Yeah, it was cool. It was really well done. I was impressed. I was like, holy
shit.
Yeah.
So we have 2016, that was actually, I think we got more to talk about this year than we did last.
I'd say so, but as I was going over the notes and putting it together, I kind of ran out of shit by the end, because it was like, I got the impression overall that... I should note that I have Paramania voice tonight, folks. It's almost better, but still kind of scraggly here. I felt like everything was kind of like in it on pause almost, except for UFOs because of the whole election thing, but also because of the election. It felt like the election sucked the oxygen out of the whole year, like for everything almost.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like I can't even really remember a lot of big things that happened because it was like everything was the election. So, like, there weren't any.
Go ahead.
No, that's. I mean, that was it. I mean, it just didn't seem like there was any advancement of anything else that I could recall that like stood out to me. You know.
I can't think of anything that really stood out to me either, except for, you know, what just happened recently, and we'll get to that at the end. It's basically 2017. I'm sorry, I'm drinking soda water, and I just ate a big hunk of pizza, which was delicious. So
nice. What kind of pizza?
Just basically everything. Sausage, pepperoni, green peppers, onions, olives, and light cheese, because I like light cheese. Because I don't like cheese overwhelming everything. Yeah, I don't like a lot of cheese. I used to have problems with it eating it because it would give me an upset stomach. Doesn't seem so much now, but I kept the habit where I don't eat huge gobs of melted cheese on a pizza. I just don't, for some reason, I don't like it.
Interesting.
Yeah. So that's my pizza preference. So
there you go.
I guess, yeah, you sent me very helpfully a list of stories, and you've already actually done a good intro to the first one, that the election sucked all the air out of the paranormal. Actually, somebody did a study, I think, that said, or somebody told me that recently, that they noticed that whenever there's any kind of actual wars going on that the United States at least is involved in, all the UFO sightings go away, and then when everybody's coming home, they suddenly spike up again.
Weird.
Yeah, and I guess it would make sense because if you take the idea that some or maybe more than some of them have to be some sort of military thing, maybe they're off using them wherever they need to be using them. But you can also look at it a psychosocial way that when people are concentrating on something that is full of import for the country and for a lot of people in it, that they tend not to really care about the paranormal stuff. If, you know, evidence after 9/11, when we didn't hear about UFOs for like, what, 4 or 5 years?
Yeah. Yeah, that's the impression I got kind of this year where it was like there just didn't seem to be any like, I was just thinking like that it was like they had like the fake Bigfoot thing, and then there was like some other thing that happened. You know, it was like a few different, like Stephenville, I think, was the same year. It was like, oh wow, a lot of weird stuff. So, like this year, there wasn't any like signature Bigfoot case or anything like that. But
nope.
I thought the election. Well, I mean, we talked back in May when I did my 4 shows in a row a week. It's just to sort of like, for people who, I hope not, but maybe people listen to these later, like years later. So this is the kind of time capsule, but it's like to bring people like, to catch them up to what happened. It was like, I'm sure you know by now, unless you're living in a cave because of the apocalypse in the future, Hillary ran against Trump, and Hillary was like super pro UFO, and that got all in all the news. And I know I was bullish about it. I was like, holy shit, this is the first time a real candidate for president's like talked about UFOs, and she's serious about it. And, you know, it was exciting and everything. And so it was like the year UFOs like dominated the year, essentially, of 2016. Definitely the first half. Then once she stopped talking about it, then even UFOs got sucked into the vacuum of the election.
Right.
Then starting like in June or July, it's like all anyone was fucking talking about was the election, until they're still talking about it, you know? So,
right.
So I guess the the note that I wrote to Greg in the most simplest of terms was like, Trump wins, UFOs lose, with a question mark. It's like, did they lose? We don't really know. You know what I mean? It was like, it's one thing to be bullish about it and be like, oh, something good could happen if she gets elected and yada, yada. It's like, we never really knew that for sure, you know? And there was always a big part of my, like, thought process on it, and I'm presuming Greg's too, where it was just like, we've seen this, even though this is relatively novel that the candidate's talking about UFOs, we've had a million false teases before, so there's no sense, you know, there's no sense counting your chickens before they're hatched, in a sense, you know? I wouldn't get too excited about what might happen, because we almost always disappointed. And we were disappointed because just on a, not to get all political with people, like on a purely UFO level, you know, her losing pretty much cut the brakes on the UFO disclosure thing that was happening. So,
yeah,
whether it would have been anything or not, who knows? But it's undebatable that, like, it's over. like I don't, you know, I think it was a huge blunder on Steve Bassett's part, because I kept trying to tell him to, you know, keep an eye on Trump and everything, and he put all his eggs in the Hillary basket. So no one bothered to call Trump and ask him about UFOs this whole time. So
think he cares about it, really.
No, but the only part is no one bothered. It's like, geez.
Yeah, I don't think anybody even asked him about it, or if they did, it just never got reported. And the only reason it got reported with Hillary was, one, her and her husband have seemed interested in it for a while, and more importantly, her campaign manager is like a huge one, you know, 110% UFO fanatic.
Right. So, I mean, that's what everybody was all excited about, you know. But it didn't pan out.
Yeah.
So.
No, it didn't pan out. And then plus, the email leaks supposedly showed that Podesta was talking to, Tom DeLong. So, which to me proves, you know, nothing except that he wasn't lying about talking to important people. I don't think he's lying about that at all. In fact, I don't think he's lying about anything. That was one of the big stories.
Who's this, Tom DeLong?
Yeah, the DeLong thing was a big story this year, and it is.
Yeah, that was a big story. Yeah.
And I asked. I didn't know. What am I saying? I got to go on Coast to Coast for the second time in my life. I don't think they liked me down there as a guest. Anyway, for the second time in my life, I went on the show, and one of the questions that Knapp asked was, "What do you think about this Tom DeLong thing in March?" And I had just heard about it, I think he told me he was going to ask about it. I was like, oh, shit, I better read up on it. And I looked at it and was like, this is Benowitz all over again. It's the same damn thing. I mean, I'm sorry, I see that, you know, everything looks like a nail to me because I'm a hammer, but it looked like, you know, anytime somebody says they're going to tell you the truth about UFOs, that's not what it is. So that's happened over and over and over and over since the 1950s, I think maybe even before that. And there was no reason to think that it was going to be any different this time, but Knapp seems to think so. Obviously, DeLong seems to think so. And, you know, of course, they're telling DeLong all kinds of stuff, which is, you know, if they told it to us, we might feel the way he does. But I've got a strong sense of skepticism about it.
Yeah.
What do you think is going to happen? I mean, I think it's going to fizzle out, or it's just going to be something where everybody goes, what? You know, it would just be something that doesn't really make any difference to anybody after it's run its course of, you know, we're going to tell you, something's going to happen, we're going to tell you.
That's what I'm confused about. Like, I don't really understand the story in a sense, because it's like, are we waiting for something from him? Like, is he going to have a book? Or I know he's working on a movie.
There is at least a book coming out, which is, I think, in 3 or 4 months, with its like second set of revelations after the first one, which is the Secret Machines book. You okay?
Yeah, I'm fine. I'll try covering.
The next section of get that cough button on. The next set of revelations will be coming after the first book. I read the first book. I don't really care to read it. Maybe I'm missing out on something momentous. Robbie Graham wrote a series of at least two articles. I think he's got one more coming called The DeLong Delusion, in which I agree with him, you know, 100%. I mean, because he's read my stuff and some other similar things, and he sees the same pattern that I do, and no real deviation from it. I'd like to hear somebody that says, no, what's different this time is X, and I don't see what's different this time, except that some of the players are different. I bet some of the players that you aren't hearing about are the same people.
Yeah, and I mean, apparently the book came out, and there weren't. If you and I don't know what the revelations were, they couldn't have been that revelatory because no one's talking about it. You know what I mean? So,
right.
It's I don't know what to make of it, honestly. Like, I heard some of what he had to say, but it was just like, I'm under the impression he's just talking to insiders and they're telling him shit, and it's like, well then. I don't know, dude. Put it out so we can all look at it and figure it out if it's legit or not. Until then, you know, beat it. I think it was Robbie who intimated that a lot of this is kind of like a weird merchandising thing or something, right? Isn't that kind of like part of the critique that it's
he said that's part of it too. I mean, I think he's trying to build like this media empire based on these revelations. One, to put the revelations out because he thinks that they're really important, and two, to give himself another stream of income, which I guess I don't really fault him for particularly, but it really bothers a lot of people.
I don't begrudge him for that, but it just seems kind of like cheesy. You know what I mean? Not even like bad, but just cheesy, where it's like, you know, it's like, dude, if you have UFO revelations, why you like, what the fuck do you care about selling a T-shirt, man? Like, what is, like, what, your priorities are all fucked up. Unless, like, really, he kind of doesn't necessarily believe this is going to change the world or anything.
Yeah, look, here's
so,
the write-up.
I don't know.
Just to remind ourselves, this is the write-up for the book. I will shorten it. Praised as an exhilarating thrill ride that may never have you looking at the night sky the same way again, Chasing Shadows is the first book in the Multimedia Secret Machines franchise, like we said, that will reveal fascinating secrets surrounding the true, well-documented events of the unidentified aerial phenomenon, written by award-winning creator, blah, 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 blah. Among those who know what they've seen, like the toll of a bell that can't be unrung, are forever changed by it. Oh, I see. It's just, are a pilot, an heiress, a journalist, and a prisoner of war. From the waning days of 20th century's final great war to the fraught fields of Afghanistan to the otherworldly secrets hidden amid Nevada's dusty Netherlands, the truth is out there that will propel each of them into a labyrinth of otherworldly technology and the competing aims of those who might seek to prevent or harness these beings of unfathomable power.
That sounds like a fictional book.
I think it's factional, meaning we're going to tell you all this as a fictional book because we can't reveal it as a regular book. Anyway, I hope I don't have that one wrong.
This whole thing is just one giant confusing fucking mess. Like that's all I'm taking out of it.
Well,
you know, it's like, wait a minute, it's a book, it's a movie, it's a multimedia empire. At the same time, though, it's fiction, but you're teasing out these revelations over time, and you're emailing John Podesta. Like, what the fuck is going on here? Like, I'm completely confused.
Well, if Robbie's article, actually, which, like I said, I agree with, he's saying, well, anytime this happens, it's not to reveal what the government knows about what UFOs, it's to do something else. Like pass information, or snare somebody into some kind of intelligence operation, or to make somebody look bad or good, or all these things at once. And if you look at it from that angle and you listen to what he's been saying, all that stuff seems so far to be the only motivation you could possibly get from it, unless you take it at its face value and say, well, it's really people in the government that want to tell us what they know about UFOs, which I absolutely do not. I mean, there's a less than 1% chance that that's the actual reason. I mean, that it's in there. I'm sure that some people in positions of power that do know something would rather that people know about it. But, you know, I got this deep-seated idea that it's a lot more complicated than aliens are coming here from other planets in structured vehicles, and they're giving us some of their technology in exchange for whatever. That seems way too simplified to me.
Nah, it's going to be something crazy, like we're actually really are part of a computer simulation. Like that was in the news this year, where like some, you know, various big-time scientists were like, we could actually be living in a computer simulation, that whole theory. Where it's like, fuck, maybe that's it. And they're just like, you know, they're like, aliens come here, that's so fucking basic, dude. No, we're living in a computer simulation. You know, maybe that's why they can't tell anybody, because people freak out and just start doing stupid shit. Because they're like, it's a computer game.
Yeah,
so,
people think that, but it's just a model.
Right.
The weird thing is a lot of Silicon Valley, like, CEOs, like, what's his name? SpaceX. Elon Musk is, like, all, it's at least the public
face
of
it.
Yeah. He's really, really concerned that we're living in a computer simulation. And they've hired, I heard a story, they hired scientists to try and get us out of it. Like, what?
Yeah, I know.
I'd like to hear,
like,
exactly what these really smart, rich people are listening to that I don't get and cannot dismiss as, well, that's just a model of the way you're looking at it. There's about 8 zillion models of looking at reality. That's just one of why you can dismiss that one's the one, you know.
Yeah, and it's like, what do you propose we fucking do when we get out of this computer simulation? if it's anything like the movie The Matrix, dude, we're not prepared to be existing outside of the simulation, man. So
yeah,
just keep me in the fucking Matrix. I don't want to wake up in a, you know, in a dystopian netherworld or whatever. Like,
yeah, as soon as they figure it out, we'll cease to exist.
Right, exactly. Yeah, yeah. They're like, the good news is we found a way out of the computer simulation by shutting it off. It's like, well, fuck you, dude. Don't do that.
And the bad news is we're all not going to exist after we do that. So how do you guys feel about it?
Yeah. So you still want to get out of that simulation, man? Yeah. It's like, I don't even know. But so I'd say, just to circle back around with the UFOs, and we're not going to relitigate the election, folks. We'll have plenty of time to talk about Donald Trump, God willing, or whatever, on the 2017 year in review. So there's no point in doing all this speculation about what the fuck's going to happen, because we just don't know. But I'd say it's safe to speculate that we probably won't get UFO disclosure. But who knows? I mean, part of me thinks, like, he shoots his mouth off and flies from the hip so much, he might be a more plausible person to somehow say some shit about UFOs, if he even gets told anything. Which is another whole other issue. Like, would they tell him? Who knows?
No. I mean, the way that you describe it, from what everybody knows, even people that like him, it's that he does do what you do. He just shoots off his mouth about anything. So the best thing would be to do is to reveal to him what you want him to shoot his mouth off about.
That's a good point,
So you can say anything you want, as long as it, one, you know, gets him excited, and two, flatters his prejudices, or makes him mad at somebody, it'll come out. Whatever he says, it'll just come straight out. It'll just come in his ear and right out of his Twitter account.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that's funny, because when I interviewed Stan for the holiday show last month, he made a point that I never even thought of, which applies in this case, because it's like part of the reason why they have the need to know is they don't want to tell you shit that you might accidentally tell. Like, it's not just that you might tell people on purpose, it's that you might accidentally tell. So it's like, that kind of makes perfect sense. It's like they probably wouldn't want to tell him anything, like, that they wouldn't be afraid to let get out there. And definitely the aliens thing, UFOs or whatever, is like, you know, they can't trust him not to fucking accidentally say anything, so... I mean, I thought he accidentally said something in that first meeting with Obama, because he was like, yeah, we talked about a bunch of stuff, high-flying assets, and it was like, what the fuck is that, dude? Like, what are you talking about, high-flying assets? And, like, I think you said, like, oh, spy satellites, but it's like, I don't think he's sophisticated enough to be referencing spy satellites, honestly. I think he's just like, UFOs, oops. So, I don't know.
I don't think he was told anything about UFOs. I don't think he will be, unless it's something that, as soon as it comes out of his mouth, you got to take it with a huge grain of salt, because it's exactly what somebody wanted him to say. Steve says
exactly.
That they're the CEOs, Silicon Valley CEOs, are just interested because if we are in a computer simulation, it would give hints as to how physics will work in the odd corners. Okay, yeah, that makes more sense to me because I'm all up in this information theory right now. And that is, which means I'll have to change an essay I wrote because I thought that they were all worried about that the computer simulation was what is. It sounds more like they might be looking at it as a model of what is and how to look at things that way. Although information theory says that the universe and reality is made out of information at a very basic level, like we think atoms and all that. No, they say that information about these things are even more basic than the atoms and molecules and gravitational and electronic and all those force, weak atomic force and strong atomic force and all that. They said that all that is emergent from an informational reality. So maybe that's what they are talking about the same thing that I understand as being information theory. So,
yeah. Well, we'll see what happens with that. I don't, you know. Those people are interesting cats. I think I have those on the notes. The only other thing, if anything, I think just UFOs is kind of, it had a lot of momentum, and now it's kind of like not so much. It's as I said on a year in review piece I wrote, it's kind of like the whole wing, the disclosure wing is like they're completely blown off their fucking, the rails. Like, this was, they've been building for this for, like, years. So, I'd say, like, the last 10 years of momentum for the disclosure movement is completely fucked. So, what happens next, who knows? Yeah, no. Hey, dude, it serves them right. Like I said, it serves them right. There is one video of some dude at a Trump rally. It's on YouTube, and he's, like, on his cell phone, and Trump's, like, going around shaking hands, and he's, like, UFO phenomenon, UFO phenomenon, are you going to say anything about UFOs? Are you going to say anything about UFOs? And Trump just, like, ignores him. So that's the only, like, known connection anywhere of Trump and UFOs. So it's
okay.
That. It's
yeah,
that
I,
bad.
I am
ever
more. Go ahead.
The only other thing I was going to, well, I don't want to, like, trample over your thought, but the only other sort of paranormal thing that came out of the, it's not paranormal necessarily, but I don't even know what to say, but it's like this election, it made conspiracy theories like fucking mainstream now. So it's really hard to like what used to be verboten is no longer verboten, except for like the really crazy, not necessarily crazy, but like really extreme shit, like 9/11 and Sandy Hook conspiracies. Those are still considered like taboo, but like to believe in any other kind of conspiracy is all of a sudden like okay. It's very like weird world we're living in right now.
Yeah, I think that is one of the few left like that is probably the flat earth thing. That probably hasn't mainstream
yet.
The anti-vax thing went mainstream conspiracy, not even past that a long time ago. So
right.
Yeah, that's the only thing I can think about right now.
But it's just like,
yeah,
well, like, look at it this way. Like, Alex Jones got a fucking phone call after the election from Trump. It's like, when the fuck, if you had told me, like, even, like, 2 years ago that the winner of the election would call Alex Jones 2 days later to thank him, I'd be like, you're fucking crazy. Like, Alex Jones isn't fucking mainstream.
Yeah.
I don't know what it means, but, you know, to me, it's like, I feel like he's kind of caught between a rock and a hard place here. Because it's like, if you made your bones on 9/11... like, and now you can pick up the phone and call the president. Like, shouldn't there should be some kind of like something should be done about it, or else what? You don't want us to find out anymore, or what? You know what I mean?
Right. I just to say how topsy turvy things were. I just saw I didn't read the article, but the article was the basic message of the article was when the CIA becomes the hero of the left and Julian Assange becomes the hero of the right, things have completely turned around.
Yeah, exactly. It's all just very fucking confusing right now. And it's like, I was talking to Steve Ray after the election. He made a good point. It was a great word to describe. It's like the disenfranchised people who embraced conspiracy theories, they're like in, they won. So it's like they can't be disenfranchised anymore. It's like almost like there's an identity crisis.
Be careful what you ask for, because it might end the world.
Yeah, no, no kidding.
And then your world. I mean, they have nothing to scream about anymore. I don't know. That's probably as political as we might get. Except you wanted to talk a little bit about the hacking thing, which I am not 100% up on. I am up on some of the people, you know, it's like, well, if the left is really into the CIA, people have told me, they said, well, if every single known intelligence agency says something happened, it's probably a good indication that it did. And then in the next breath, in the next day, which I agree with, and then the next day I look at a video showing Colin Powell saying every single intelligence source that we have from all agencies also say that there's weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. I mean, we know how that turned out.
Right.
So
yeah, exactly.
You know,
I don't even know what to make of this.
Yeah. Well, so we go back to, you know, is Trump's life in danger now because he's threatened they must not like him for some deep-seated reason. So we'll find out what's going on there. I think he's pissed off the intelligence agencies, which is probably not a smart thing to do.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Kennedy knew better than anybody. You don't want to piss off the CIA. Well, it's like, I feel like all pretenses of allegiances are kind of like, it doesn't make any sense. But I guess what I'm saying is, like, I feel like there's some kind of battle going on here between factions of power that aren't like Republicans and Democrats. Do you know what I mean?
Right. Where
it's like,
yeah.
Because, I mean, like, somehow Israel's fighting with Obama, but they like Trump, and it's like, but the UN is in the shits now with Israel, and it's like, and Russia's trying to team up with us.
Yeah.
There's
a reorganization
going on that
we're not privy to.
Yeah, we're not privy to, like, who these players are exactly and what their motivations are, you know what I mean? And you got, like, the WikiLeaks, and then you got, like, you know, all the people that are tied up with the Clinton power structure and shit, and the intelligence agencies and shit. You know what I mean? So it's like, I don't even know what, I really don't know. It's like that idea, like, oh, there's the neocons, and these, I think there's just different factions right now fighting over what, I don't really know exactly, to try and maintain power before Trump comes in, because they don't know what side he's on. Is he on a side? Is he in a faction? I don't know, but.
No, he's a wild card.
It's like, yeah. And you can see why conspiracy theories are so popular now, because it's like, no one knows what the fuck's going on. like, really, no one, you can't be sure of anything anymore.
Yeah, because there is not a trusted source of news anymore. Because, well, the thing is, the problem is you have to weigh evidence from different sources. Just like, liberal friends of mine will say, well, the Russians hacked the election. And then the conservative ones are like, oh, that's just sour grapes, and there's people are whining. And then I've got another group of friends that are like, they say, well, look at the motivation of these intelligence agencies and what they've done in the past and why they might be doing this now, and not to take everything with a grain of salt until all the facts are in, which may never happen. They might be, but not for, you know, 10 years from now, maybe.
Right, exactly. Because it's like, we've been conditioned all these years. Like, I just question everything. You know, it's like, we've been conditioned all these years to be against Russia. And it's like, maybe Trump wants to team up with Russia, and all these people are just like, no, you can't do that, dude. You can't team up with Russia. You can't team up with Russia. You know, it's like, I don't fucking know. Maybe we should team up with Russia. I mean, I don't know. You know what I mean? I don't know what's going on, but it's like, people are, I feel like they're all sort of vying for me to believe them. It's like, I don't know who to believe anymore, man. So just figure it out.
Which is why I usually shut up about it, which is what I'm going to do right now before we get into more. This is not a political show, but that's about as political as we probably get.
I don't think we said anything political anyway. That was, you know what I mean. So
we
weren't like this. If anything, I did, but we can move on. It's fine. There's nothing else. We'll be talking about all this next year anyway. So
yes, and also I hope we will. what was on your list next was the Creepy Clown Panic, which seemed to just die out. It was a craze for what? The middle of the year, beginning to the middle of the year, and about in summer, in the fall, it just went away.
Yeah, it started, ironically, at the end of August. Steve Ray told me about it, like, the day it happened. I was, like, one of the first people to report on it, because he was, like, sitting in my living room and was like, oh, that's strange, creepy clowns in South Carolina. And I was like, what the fuck? And then next thing you know, it exploded all through September and all through October. So,
yeah,
it was weird. It was really weird.
One more thing Steve did say. Carlos says the mainstream media has presented no direct evidence of hacking the election. The intelligence agencies have presented no direct evidence if you really look into it.
No, they just said it was like a propaganda campaign.
Yeah. Steve Ray says Walter Bosley, Joseph Farrell, Gordon White model says it's a battle between globalist elites and local national elites, and that Trump has the backing of traditional organized crime. They also figure that there's some factions in the intelligence community, and Trump has the backing of some of them. That makes sense. It makes sense to me. I mean, like most things, I take it under advisement. So.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, yeah, exactly. A globalist. Yeah, that makes sense in a sense where it's like there seems to be a real divide here between globalists and nationalists, and that's what's kind of driving all this. But who knows?
Yeah.
You know? You hope it doesn't end up in World War fucking III, but there's a part of me that's like, I don't know. There just seems to be a lot of global chess pieces moving around to a degree that I don't quite like. I like stability.
Well,
I don't like chaos.
I don't know. Most people do. The thing is that I don't know. I'm very naive, but the point to me seems to keep the economic engine going, and you can't do that with less people. Limited wars work great. That really drives the economic. Even medium-sized wars work great. But a world war with nuclear weapons, that's not going to help anyone. So I think that's the only saving grace is that we can't destroy the economic machine because then there's nobody. And you just have a bunch of rich people living in bunkers somewhere, which I don't think they want. So
yeah, that would be pretty awful.
Maybe I'm naive, but that just seems to be a very basic fact of this, is that it's limited, like I said, limited war, and even a medium-sized war is profitable and does great. But a world-ending war even the 1% don't want that.
No, because like their life of luxury depends on the plebes like us, like making the machine work.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. It's like
if
their internet went down or whatever, you know, their fucking toilet gets backed up. It's like if there's only 1%ers, if there's only 1%ers left, like who's gonna fix their toilet or what? Who's gonna cook their meals and shit? You know what I mean? So. Yeah.
No, I guess you could save enough people, but this is I don't think they want the world to end. They just want to get richer. That's all. It's just that if a few thousand or a few hundred thousand people die, I don't think they give a shit whatsoever. But not the whole world, or large sections of the economic machine cannot be destroyed. It's just not gonna. It doesn't. Nobody wins. So we dealt with the creepy clown thing and why it went away. I was pretty sure it was going to be a craze like these things are. I think the media fed it, and it fed back, and then eventually it just ran out of steam because we stopped hearing stories about it. When did you say, in the fall?
Yeah, it started the last week in August, and it ended essentially around Halloween. So.
Oh, that's right. That's right. It was a little late.
It ended like almost right on. So it was 2 months long. It was unlike anything. I mean, because a lot of, when it was in the news and shit, a lot of people were like, and they were right, like Lauren and other people were like, Lauren Coleman were like, talking about how this has happened before, you know what I mean? This creepy clown thing. But this was like way bigger than anything that had happened before. This was like, but it wasn't even like, it wasn't even like paranormal in a sense. It really was just assholes putting on clown costumes and being assholes. You know what I mean? There wasn't anyone, no one was like, oh, where are these creepy clowns coming from? It's like, we know where they're coming from, high school.
Yeah, but the thing is that I think some people were caught, some of the clowns were caught, but they weren't, it wasn't in a way that you know, why did they catch far more of them? There was a paranormal angle to it that really intrigued me at the beginning when it first started. What was it, South Carolina or something?
Yeah.
Where these clowns were showing up and disappearing into this forest, and then they were, apparently they had laser lights, and and then when the police ran into where supposedly the kids said they were living in a house in there or something like that, I don't know where they got that idea, maybe a rumor spread, but they never found any of them, not in South Carolina. But as copycats show up in other cities and other places, not cities, they're usually rural, but when they started to show up, then people started getting caught.
Right, right. Yeah, no, they never caught the original clowns. I mean, that very well could have been fucking, like, weirdly paranormal. I mean, there's a certain, like, mass hysteria quality to it that's like, you know, it's no different in a sense than, like, a UFO flap or something where all of a sudden it just spreads like wildfire to a degree where you're like, it's worthy of study, I guess is the best way to put it. It's like, how the fuck did this thing get so crazy, you know?
Yeah, and I think it's a combination between whatever weirdness was going on, but then also people talking about it and news organizations talking about it. And I think that gave it not only a normal boost, but also I think it gave it some sort of a psychic boost. And it fed on itself for a while until copycats made it. I think it ran out of steam before the copycats got on. Maybe the copycats killed it. I don't know.
Well, it's indicative of how we've turned into, like, a meme culture. Like,
yeah, exactly.
I mean, there was always fads and shit, but this is like, it's, you know what it is? It's like the fads now happen, like, overnight, you know?
Right.
It's like all of a sudden everyone's doing this ice bucket challenge. Or they're T-bowing, or they're planking, or whatever. It's like, I think the new one is they freeze, and, you know, they freeze or some shit. I don't fucking know. I don't do these things. But it's like, these fads now, everything's faster. Like, the culture is just so much faster. It's like, when something takes hold, it takes hold, like, huge. And it's like, well,
and
I mean,
it burns
shit. It's like, you look, well, you, like, look at those people, like, they've written books about them now. It's like, this is the people that do something stupid on social media, and next thing you know, their fucking whole lives are ruined, you know? It's like, you just you just hope you're not that person ever, where it's like, next thing you know, you tweet one stupid fucking thing, and next thing you know, they're writing about you in, like, the New York Times, and people are fucking making death threats against you and shit. It's like, what the fuck is wrong with this world? Yeah.
Because people seem to react emotionally to things before they really think about them, and then that becomes the whole. Where was the quote? It was probably from some mid 20th century fascist government. They just said, you know, maybe it was Hitler's propaganda. I don't know, but it was, you know, bypass the intellect and go straight to the emotions, and that's where you're gonna grab people, and then it doesn't matter anymore what anybody says. As long as it conforms to that emotion that you've put together, that you've wrapped your, whatever your idea is around, that the emotions will, you know, any kind of argument against it is going to be, it will bounce off the emotional component of it, where people just won't, you know, they won't believe something if it doesn't fit in with whatever. No matter what, you have them sitting in a chair and show them the exact thing that happened, and they still won't believe. Or they will justify it in some way, and that comes from having an emotional attachment to your opinions, which is what a lot of people in power count on. Just get you emotionally attached to something, and then you don't think about it.
Well, that's for sure. But the clowns, I don't know. That's about it on the clowns. I mean, it was just crazy. It's an example of how the oxygen got sucked out of the room on everything else, though, in a sense, where it's like this. I mean, that was like the second biggest paranormal story of the year was all these clowns. It was like, what the fuck was that all about? Like, what the fuck, dude? Like, if you told me last year on the year in review when I did the hot or not, you would have, like, called me an asshole if I was like, 2016, I got a feeling. You know what's going to be hot? Creepy clowns. Like, that came out of nowhere, dude. What? That came out of nowhere.
What did we say was going to be hot? Do you remember?
I think I said UFOs, but I don't remember. Probably because of the Hillary thing. I think it was already brewing. But
it was for a little while, but nobody could have predicted, you know, what was going to happen. I mean, even people that were going to vote for the guy that won this we've gone over a million times. They couldn't predict it either.
Yeah.
It was a very unpredictable year. Just like your point number three on here, mass celebrity die off.
Yes, nice segue.
Yes.
I mean, that was another thing. That's like one of those stories that was a bona fide story in a sense. Like, people generally, it wasn't just like, oh, hey, a lot of celebrities are dying. It was like, the story wasn't the celebrity, like, specific celebrities dying. It was like, all the celebrities are dying. Like, what is going on here? You know, it was very weird. I don't know, though. I mean, I'd have to look at it, but it did seem like this was a year where a lot of icons died. If that makes any
sense.
More icons than usual.
Yeah, it did seem like there was a kind of a cluster of deaths. You know, a lot of people, I did see the articles and commentary saying, well, look, you know, there's a baby boom generation that's passing. Two, there's a lot more media available to report these things and people to get this information instantly. And three, and probably the most important, our definition of celebrity has changed.
Right.
Like, there's a lot more people that are famous for a lot of different things. Although, it seemed like a lot of them, denigrate the people, you know, like Bowie and Prince and Carrie Fisher and all these, and Debbie Reynolds and God, who else? There are
Muhammad Ali.
Yeah, Muhammad Ali. I mean, it's just, these people are, you know, they got to an age where and that's another thing. It's like, can I look at an actuarial table from a insurance company and find out when people born anywhere from the late 40s through early 60s, you know, what is their life expectancy right now? And I bet the hot spot's going to be right around now.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Well, it's a combination, like you're saying, of people die. You know, it's funny, like this whole thing where it's like, oh, we got to protect Betty White from 2016. It's like, dude, I hate to break it to you, but if you make it through 2016, you're not fucking immortal. Like, people are going to die this year, too. So, who knows? You know, but, it's like, people are getting older, and there's just way more celebrities, you know? It wasn't like back in the 80s when I was a kid where it was like, there was Michael Jackson, there was Madonna, and maybe, like, 12 other people, you know?
Yeah.
Now it's like there's hundreds.
Yeah, because people...
I mean, it did seem like...
For the content, you hear about a lot more things.
I do wonder, though, like, I mean, I don't know. I do wonder if it's like, there's no way of knowing this, but this is the kind of shit we talk about when we talk. It's like, I do wonder if there, at some point, because it didn't start out this way. Like, Bowie died. He was, like, the first person to die, really, of a big name in the year. I don't remember when it started, but at some point, people were like, oh, no, a lot of celebrities are dying. And then I'm just wondering, like, if it became, like, a self-fulfilling prophecy somehow. You know what I mean? Or like, if, in a way, it did somewhat, because I feel like later celebrity deaths got, like, elevated to slightly bigger than they would have been, in a sense. Like, I'm just thinking of, like, somebody like Alan Thicke, you know, like a sitcom dad. It's like, yeah, he's pretty well-known and shit, but it's like... It got elevated where it's like another 2016's taking another one, you know what I mean? So it's just kind of weird.
Yeah.
But I definitely, I mean,
go ahead.
Yeah. Well, there's a part of me too that it's like, if you're looking for, like, the paranormal element to it, you look at it and you're like, it's like, is there something happening here? And it's like, well, George Michael did die on Christmas, which is like he made that famous Christmas song. And then Carrie Fisher died, then her mom died the next day. It's like, that's three pretty fucking weird deaths. Like at the, and I think like Muhammad Ali died and then Gordie Howe died like the next day. Arnold Palmer did or something like that, or within a week. So it's like, you wonder almost if there is a message in the madness of it all, where it's like, yes, these tests do mean something. Didn't you notice I took the guy that wrote the Christmas song on Christmas? Like, I took Carrie Fisher, then her mother the next day. Like, do you get the fucking point? But it's like, who knows what the point is? I don't, you know what I mean? But something weird. It's very weird.
Well, I don't know what the point is either. As you're saying this, I was thinking that I was sorry about a lot of these things. For some reason, Bowie affected me a lot because I liked him all the way through like high school and stuff. When a lot of my friends thought he was a weirdo and thought he, you know, was just ridiculous because they were all listening to, you know, the Stones and Led Zeppelin and, you know, whatever.
He was a weirdo. That's what made him so fucking
Van Halen. Yeah, Van Halen, whatever. Which I guess I liked later, but that one really affected me. But a lot of these other ones, even Carrie Fisher too, but a lot of these other ones I wasn't emotionally affected because I have a weird emotional detachment from a lot of things personally. I don't know if it's to keep me from being so upset or because, you know, but the thing is it'll come out at weird times. I'll be very emotional, but most of the time it's just kind of like, nope, okay, I'm trying to, I don't know what the word is. I guess I try to zen out. But so the celebrity death thing, it intrigued me, but it didn't affect me really emotionally that much. So
yeah, I was kind of the same way. I mean, I almost to a T. Like the Bowie one really was like, oh shit, man, that sucks. But then I'm not a big Star Wars fan, so the Carrie Fisher thing didn't really, you know, like George Michael, I'm missing a shit like Muhammad Ali. I mean, by the time I was old enough to know who Muhammad Ali was, he was like all handicapped and shit. You know what I mean? I only know him from archival footage. Same thing with, like, Fidel Castro. So to me, it was like you were saying,
Castro,
dude, you know.
Geez.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Let's see, here I will call up a list here. There's,
just tons.
Oh, there's just pictures of them. Thanks a lot. I gotta do it by sight. Thanks a lot.
Oh, what is this, highlights? Here.
Yeah, Carrie Fisher, Zsa Zsa Gabor, George Michael. I don't know who these people are. Ella Thick, John Glenn.
Like, Zsa Zsa Gabor is an example where it's like, dude, Zsa Zsa Gabor was like 90-something. It's not some huge surprise she died. And it's like, to me, it's like anyone making a big deal about Zsa Zsa Gabor dying in the year of death. Now you're just looking for, you know, you're connecting dots that don't, like, she was 90-something, dude. Like,
I
don't mean you. I don't mean
a lot of other people going. I mean, if it was just, it'd be safer. If it was, usually you'd hear about people dying, it'd be just like, okay, oh my God, you know, that's a surprise.
Yeah.
But now it's almost like, maybe it's the same thing as the clowns, you know, Gary Shanley. The same thing as the clowns.
Gary Shanley.
Yeah, it's there's some weird, and Abe Vigoda, who everybody thought had died years ago, died this last year.
Yep, he finally died.
But
you know, there's a website that was isabevigodadead.com.
Yes, I know.
Yeah, and they finally updated it obviously
site.
This year.
Yeah. George Martin, for Christ's sake.
So, yeah, it was a
weird
year for celebrity deaths.
Yeah, I do think that I don't, with all the stuff I said earlier about, you know, well, they all die, you know, let's, you know, these people, it was their time, and maybe that's about, you know, that's about the average that would die. And there's still a weirdness about how many there were at the same time. I can't deny that.
And like I said, icons, you know, iconic figures. It's very weird.
Yes, like Edgar Mitchell and John Glenn the same year.
Oh, another segue. Very nice.
Yes. You're number four. Space is getting more popular. More talk of aliens, Mars. The private space industry made big strides this last year, and Edgar Mitchell and John Glenn died.
This is kind of almost a weird year in review tradition, because usually when one of these, Edgar Mitchell was kind of a paranormal icon in a lot of ways. Did you ever encounter him or meet him or talk to him?
Never got to talk to him, unfortunately. I don't know what I would have asked him, I guess. I mean, it's just one of those things. If somebody just threw me in a room with him, I'd find something to talk about with him. I have no doubt. I just don't know what that would be right now.
Right.
Probably just about, ESP and how did you get interested and what happened to you on the space flights, because I know that a lot of the astronauts had very strange it's a life-changing experience going to the moon, but just while they were in space, suddenly they had some sort of enlightenment experience, and what was it that affected you? I'm sure he's written about it, and, What has happened since then? How do you think it's progressed since you first got interested in it? What do you think are the biggest promise for the future with these paranormal subjects you're interested in, especially ESP and remote viewing and all that stuff? So I know he's very heavily into that with the, Noetic. Was he one of the founders of the Noetic Science Institute? I think so.
Yeah, he founded Noetic Sciences.
There's like 8 questions already. So, yeah.
Well, he's dead, unfortunately, so we will not find out any of those. He was pretty – well, it's funny, just to be our usual or my usual cynical self. It's like he walked on the fucking moon, and he was pro-UFO, and it didn't make a difference. So it's –
exactly.
It just goes to show you that it's
going
to take quite a person to get this thing flipped.
Well, it doesn't. What it takes, and I think I've said this on the show before, is that what it's going to take is some way that people can experience whatever it is for themselves on a large scale, no matter what it is. And it's never going to be the same thing any two people are not going to have the same experience. But if you can call in a UFO experience on demand for a great deal of people and they start trying it and it works, that'll change it. Not pictures, not disclosure, not videos, not 800 different, accounts, I used to be in the Air Force and I saw this and this and this and this. All that stuff has happened and it hasn't changed the opinion yet. So I think it has a lot more to do with a personal connection with it than it does with trying to prove something to somebody by showing them things that do not have a personal connection with the phenomenon. Because once it makes a personal connection with you, your belief system, just if it didn't include that before, gets completely turned around. And you say, yeah, okay, that makes total sense to you, no matter what you think it is, if it's aliens or whatever the hell. But it's going to have to be something that makes people realize things on a personal level. I mean, that's the only thing I can think of right now.
As far as space goes,
to turn it around. Yes.
I just
feel
like space is like getting, it's been getting bigger and bigger all the time, no pun intended. And it's like, it seems to me that it's like, it's annoying and frustrating in a sense, because it's like, it's a very slow process. So by the time like my buddy's kid, who's like a baby now, like maybe by the time she's like 20, it'll be like a whole different world. But it's going so slow for us that I don't think it's going to make a really much difference in our lives. You know what I mean?
I think there'll be
we're not
going
to be able to go to the moon, dude. I don't think so.
Yeah, probably not. But as soon as I can afford to go into space, into orbit, I'm going.
You may not even be allowed to, and I don't mean to be a dick, but, what if they don't do it for 20 years? You're going to be like, they might not – we both might be too old. That's the
– Yeah, well, the other thing is
going too slow.
Yeah, I think advances in gerontology, meaning life extension and all that, is going to – that's already advancing really fast. So I think we'll be able to live healthier and longer than – as long as we kind of watch it, but – healthier and longer than we have before. So we might make it to that point. I don't know. I try to
I'm
have
hopeful.
Fun.
Yeah, I'm hopeful, but I'm skeptical because it's like, it seems to be taking a long time. But there's
it always takes longer than you want, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
But I like I said, it's you know, the I would have put money up like what Brad and Angelina Jolie and whoever the hell else. I think a bunch of celebrities put money up for Virgin Galactic to take the first rides on the space plane. I didn't want it. I mean, that's, can you imagine a better ride? I know people's like, well, what if something goes wrong? It'd be wonderful. I'd hate it at the moment, but Jesus, I don't, you know, what if I died in a fire reentry from space? It's better than dying in a bed.
Yeah, getting hit by a bus. Yeah.
So, I kind of think of it in that way.
Yeah, no, believe me. If I could go, I mean, I'm bitter. Like, if I could, even if they had the technology now, they probably wouldn't let me go. They'd be like, no fucking way, dude. You got to get in shape at least to be shot off the planet.
I don't know.
Like, just
John,
listen to your voice,
John
young man.
Glenn,
you're not.
Yeah. If John Glenn was able to go into space at 70, whatever it is, I think we'll be okay for a little while.
That's true. But it definitely seems like space is cooler than it was, you know, like, I don't know, in the 90s and in the aughts. It's like space is really, especially Mars, dude. Mars is like the fucking hip thing all of a sudden.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you were going to keep going because I'm answering.
No.
Steve,
I was
Rice,
taking a moment.
Steve put up a thing saying, he said, how much you go to the edge of space? Because you can go to Russia and pay, like, I think it's $5,000, and they will take you up to, like, God, what is it? Something like 80,000 feet or something like that, which is edge of space. I don't think you experience weightlessness. But, you know, if I had $5,000 to blow on, and that's the budget one, which kind of worries me. But yeah, for $5,000, that's the one thing that I haven't done. That is a flying thing I haven't done is going to jet fighter. The other thing is an aerobatic aerobatic aircraft. I want to take a ride in aerobatic aircraft and maybe someday learn how to do that. But yeah, I would love to take a ride in a military fighter and you know pull so many G's I pass out and all that. I would love it. I could not wait to do that. The fact of going into, you know, you get astronaut's wings if you go up that high, I think. I don't know what I think it's 100,000 feet or something like that. Maybe it's 80. I can't remember exactly what it is, but the X-15 pilots were considered astronauts. So they left, 90% of the atmosphere or whatever it is.
Well, it's funny, talking about it, I was looking at this thing here, there was a story earlier in the year that Jeff Bezos said, because he's into this space thing too, and the Russian NASA, they said they would fly him to the ISS in one of their capsules for $20 million. And then I guess they kind of like haggled a little bit, and he was, you know, hemming on or whatever. And then so they offered to fly him. They said he could do a flyby of the moon for $200 million in a Soyuz, but he would be the first person ever to do it because it's designed to do that, but it's never actually done it. So he passed on that. So for $400 million, he had the opportunity to be the guinea pig to fly past the moon.
I'd have done it. Although the Russian,
yeah, it's pretty crazy.
I think they got it down now. But I heard Paul Kimball when he had his East Coast. He's going to kill me now. When he had his paranormal conference in Halifax.
It was like New Frontiers or something.
Yes, thank you. New Frontiers conference in Halifax. He had a guy come out, and he's on Coast to Coast all the time now. Robert Zimmerman, not who you're thinking of, but a historian of space exploration. He talked about all the weird stuff that had happened to the Russians and all the, you know, and this is just coming out now, I think, more publicly, but what had happened to them in their space program, because they had a lot more people just eat it in their space program, just perished a couple of them left Earth orbit by accident, and they just shot off into space. There's like Russian cosmonauts, dead Russian cosmonauts shooting out of the solar system right now.
Mind that, yeah.
He told my favorite story was one time they had to do a spacewalk because something was wrong with the outside of the Soyuz or a space station, their space station or something like that. What's called Mir. And he said that the only functional suit they had had a hole in the leg, where the joint is, where your leg bends. They fixed it with duct tape. They duct taped the hole closed and then went out and fixed whatever it was on the ship and kept from dying.
That's a ballsy move. I guess you got to, dude. If you're in space, you got to do it, you know? It's like...
Yeah, well, there was no way around it. It was like, you know, the Apollo 13. It's like, well, you got to solve the problem or you die. That's about it. So there's no real, like, well, maybe we can take care of it later. You just can't, so... Yeah, but the other thing he emphasized about the Russian space program is that it was full of a lot more, duct tape and spit and just baling wire and twine and stuff and ballsy moves than you ever heard of in the American space program, because they did it so quickly and, you know, that things went wrong, so they had to deal with it or die.
Yeah, I mean, shit, they were, like, sending dogs and shit up into space. They were kind of making it up as they go along.
Yeah, well, everybody did, too, but I think they were in such a hurry to get ahead of the Americans that they cut some corners at first, and that's where a lot of the problems happened. Anyway. Let's see, your last thing here was ubiquity of cameras means more footage of everything, but none of it's any good. True.
Yeah, I think as you know, and a lot of listeners know, I swim the seas of paranormal news all the time now, and it's like there's just more videos of everything, but none of them really turn out to be any good. It's very frustrating, you know. I don't know what to make of it, in a sense, because I don't think, like, it doesn't mean Bigfoot's real or whatever, but it's like somehow all our Bigfoot videos are terrible. Like,
yeah.
What the hell's going on?
And all
the
UFO videos, yeah, all the UFO videos tend to be about, you know, a half mile away. Why is that? Why are there no videos of UFOs from, well, there are a couple, but to me, they're questionable. Why are there none from, you know, 10 feet away? I don't see any of those. And the Bigfoot videos and pictures and all that are all complete, except for the Patterson film, which is still kind of contentious. They're all kind of inconclusive blobs.
I will say, though, in a sense, it's funny. It doesn't really do us any good, but I will say that the ubiquity of cameras has produced a pretty good amount of what I think is, like, pretty decent, like, ghost evidence. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I've seen in the last few years and this year, too, it's like security cameras pick up weird shit, and you know what I mean? Just, like, weird shit, like, seems, at least in the ghost area, because I think, like, you're not, in a lot of instances, it's like the ghost does something in the background or whatever, pops up in the back, you know what I mean? It's like with Bigfoot, that doesn't seem to happen as much, but with ghosts, it does. So I think the ubiquity of cameras is good for ghosts, but what good does it do us in the long run? You know what I mean? It's like ghosts are different from, like, UFOs and Bigfoot. It's like no one's really trying to prove ghosts are real. I don't know what they're trying to fucking do, but they're trying. They're just like...
I think they are trying to prove ghosts are real.
You think so? I guess some are. Some people are.
Yeah,
I think most people accept that. Yeah, that's what I mean. I think people generally accept ghosts in some form or fashion, but it's like...
What?
Evidence-wise, I guess that's what people are doing when they go out for these ghost hunts. They're trying to... I think, like, the thrill of the ghost hunting, though, is, like...
Like the UFO...
Exactly. They want to encounter it.
They
want to have an experience.
Yeah.
Right.
And
so it's, like, less about proving anything. It's more just about experiencing shit.
Yeah. Well, I think there's a good disconnect here between what a camera sees and your eye sees. They're not the same thing. Physically, they're the same thing, but after it leaves your retina and it starts going to your brain, I think that's where the similarities end. I think you're attuned to things that cameras are not, which is why, you know, you'll see something on camera and you won't see it on, you know, right in front of you, or opposite. You won't see anything that turns up later on the camera. I don't think there's only a little intersection there, especially with weird things like that. With anomalous things, there's only a small intersection between what you see and what a camera or a video or a audio recording, whatever, might pick up. And there's no way to get that experience down on a videotape or an audio tape or a SD card or whatever. I think it's impossible to equate the two. And that might be a problem too, because, you know, our eyes are not cameras. Our brains are not computers. They work similar, but in most ways, not similar to the machines that we compare them to.
Yeah, until they make our eyes into cameras, which will probably happen, you know, someday.
Yeah, we still have to go through our conscious awareness, and our conscious awareness changes things as they go through. And I don't think it's necessarily for the worse. It's evolved over, you know, millions and millions of years to keep us going, keep us alive, keep us aware. Actually, I'm editing a show right now with Aaron Daba, who's the esoterics guy. And he said, why do we – I just got through this part in it, you know, it'll probably take me a couple more days to – a few more days to edit. But one thing he pointed out was, if we aren't supposed to be seeing these things and they don't exist, why do we still see them? There must be some sort of, you know, evolutionary advantage to seeing weird stuff. or it wouldn't have, you know, it shouldn't be in our makeup to see weird stuff if it's not useful for us in some way.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's weird. Yeah, I don't know what's going on with that. I was thinking of something that I thought during the year, ironically, because we had a Pokemon Go encounter with a nerd tornado, and I kind of got the premonition or something that, like, this Pokemon Go thing is the start of, like, they're going to make it more acceptable for augmentation and shit. That's what they want to do, I think. So, like, the idea that everyone was, like, looking down on their phones looking for these fucking Pokemons and the augmented reality, it's like, I think augmented reality is going to get bigger. I'm surprised. I figured after the Pokemon Go thing, there'd be, like, a million fucking ripoffs, but there haven't been yet. But I think there probably will be. Maybe it takes time to put something. Maybe they didn't see it coming, and then now they're, like, all rushing to do their own Pokemon Go things, but I think eventually it's going to be like, if you think that's cool, get the retina thing, and then you don't even have to look through your phone. You fucking live in the augmented reality. So, I don't know. I felt like it was a weird preview of the future, in a sense.
They realize that when I get Andre the Giant cinched up in the launch position, when I slam him through the Trump Plaza, brother, from New York down to Tampa, Florida, the fault line is going to break off. And as Andre the Giant falls into the ocean, so will Donald Trump and all the Hulkamaniacs. But as Donald Trump hangs onto the top of the Trump Plaza with his family under his other arm, as they sink to the bottom of the sea, thank God Donald Trump's a Hulkamaniac. He'll know enough to let go of his materialistic possessions, hang on to the wife and kids, dog paddle with his life all the way to safety.
You're listening to Banal of America Audio.
But Donald, if something happens, you run out of gas, and all those little Hulkamaniacs run out of gas, just hang on to the largest back in the world, and I'll dog paddle us, backstroke all of us to safety.
Oh, and thank you, Hulk Hogan. Let's get back to action. Wow.
Unreal, Donald Trump, one of the Hulkamaniacs.
There he is right there, a Hulkamaniac. You really think so?
Absolutely.